Janae and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Haven't caught me slipping yet. They haven't caught me slumped yet, but give it time. We still got one more day before we get to this weekend. Janae and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, the ESPN app, and ESPN Plus. We're presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline, and we got plenty to get into. The home stretch of the NBA season, and still, Brooklyn's Big Three having to remind us what they're really about. We will hear from James Harden. We will also get into some of the things upcoming with the NFL, including the 17-game regular season. Now that we've gotten the schedule rolled out, some things got to get decided. But Mike Golic Jr., Trevor Scales, sitting in for Chinne Agwumike today, kind enough to join us. You can catch him co-hosting Sports Nation on ESPN Plus each and every day. Trev, we finally hit that point in the last hour where things went off the rails here talking about waffles and pancakes.
And we embrace it. We love the idea of conversation that involves the masses. We are here for that because, yes, for once, I actually agree with one Dan Orlovsky about food.
It's an amazing place to find yourself and a dangerous place. For anyone that missed it, before we get into, because I think this is actually an important part that people need to know about the life of being an athlete, is as we're getting ready for the 17-game regular season, everything changes about the way you approach this, including your diet. That's going to be my clever shoehorn in to just talk more about waffles and pancakes. So Dan Orlovsky decided to tweet that he thinks waffles are better than pancakes. And Trevor and I are on different sides of this. I'm on the pancake side. Trev's on the waffle side. Lil Jethro tweeted in at Mike Golic Jr. at Trevor Scales. Dude, I am so hungry. You guys got to stop this right now. And KCP316 tweets in and says, in his argument here, if waffles were better than pancakes, there would be an international house of waffles. Instead, there's only a Waffle House. Pancakes are international. Point made. Now, Trevor, while I am on the pancake side of things, there will be no Waffle House, anything resembling Waffle House slander tolerated on the show.
Thank you. I appreciate you going to bat for that side of things. You should have the respect to be able to kind of say, look, there's no need to knock down the other vessel of breakfast, right? But I think what elevates the waffle is that it's not only for breakfast. It's also the activation for brunch. Like, it's that sort of next level sort dining capabilities that we have with the waffle that I believe needs to be taken into account.
See, this is the thing is, one, I know this show's working against because you've used all the buzzwords, right? Like, you brought up chicken and waffles, which we all love. That was going to be a win on your side. You brought up brunch, which we are all ready to get back to. Big ups to the CDC, by the way, for helping us get closer and closer to that point. But, Trevor, the thing I will ultimately say about pancakes versus all this, before we get to your pregame meal habits, is pancakes has a little ass to it, for lack of a better term. It's got a little bit more to it. It's got a little bit extra to it. And I just like a breakfast that's going to pack a punch like that. It's thick. There's might be even three C's and all that. When I put the syrup on top, it becomes part of the pancake. It doesn't even just sit there. It's not a vessel for the syrup the way waffles are. It becomes a part of its DNA, and for that, I'm eternally grateful.
But why would you be against the idea of being able to see the crown jewel that is the maple syrup that you're pouring on this beautiful breakfast bread? There's no reason that you want to hide it. Why would you want it to disappear? I like the visual appeal of seeing the waffle cradle maple syrup and holding the remnants of melted butter. It's a beautiful sight to see. It's a foodie's, like, blogosphere is going crazy with the idea of being able to take a picture overhead of melted butter on some waffles, bro. Like, you notice.
As is our production side on TV. Shout out to Jerry and our TV staff on ESPN Plus. If you're not watching right now, just the delicious pictures of pancakes and waffles. I would love for one of our bosses flipping by on ESPN Plus right now to wonder what the hell is going on here on Janae and Golic Jr. As chicken and waffles are gracing the lines. By the way, 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. If you want to get in on this battle, we'll get to some of those calls here in a minute, Trevor, but I do want to pay this off of what's going on with the NFL, with the 17-week regular season in here. This is going to be different. Lewis Riddick came on, as we talked about this, former NFL player, former NFL front office insider, and mentioned load management feels like a dirty word. It even makes him uncomfortable sometimes as a fan, but this is going to have to be the way we approach these processes, Trevor. So as a player looking at this, as someone who's been inside a locker room, how do you think we're going to get more teams trying to approach this as we get to a longer season?
It's got
to
be a matter of self-preservation, too, for each of these players, like you mentioned. Like, it's got to be a lot more vocalizing of the ailments on a week-to-week basis, right? Like, I know we clown Ben Roethlisberger for embellishing the idea of him being hurt and making sure everybody is here to hear it. But there is going to be a level of vocalization that I think is the teams are going to have to ask of their players. I know it sounds minimal in just one extra week, but when you are now putting buys at the back end of the schedule or at the front end of the schedule and asking teams to play 13 weeks straight, that is going to be a task unlike any other. And so for that reason, you're going to have players kind of making sure that they are clear with their coach and staff that, hey, coach, this is a week where I need to either taper it down or I'm available to ramp up.
That's one of the amazing things in the development. We talk about so much of what happens behind the scenes, what these teams are sinking their time and effort into, trying to figure out just that. How do we take the best care of our player's body? And I know there's the Sloan Analytics Conference in Boston at MIT every year, where some of the brightest minds around sports, not only for on-field analytics, but things like you just described, being able to track players, how much they're working, how long they're working. You see all the time, there's all these different bands and workout things that try and do that, but trying to make sure you're multi-million dollar investments on the team are going to be in that place, because so many people read this, Trevor, I think, as, well, these players are soft. We see this all the time in the NBA. They should want to be out there night in and night out. The fans expect all of that. I always turn that around and say the fans expect their teams to win. These teams are gigantic, well-funded winning machines who have to approach every one of these situations and say, how do I best make sure that my team is playing the best when it needs to late in the season, the longest it can go in the postseason? And that only happens if you manage the parts along the way with the reality that you're given. And that reality is 17 games and an expanded postseason right now. And it's different from what we've had in a year before.
Long-term availability equates to winning, which equates to more money. So, like, I think all of those three things are things that players want to capitalize as well as fans get to reap the benefits of. So, yeah, no, there should be no argument against the idea of preserving for 1 week. And this doesn't even have to be a thing that occurs for every superstar across the NFL. There are going to be some exceptions in which, yes, because there are only 17 opportunities, they are going to make sure that you play as often as you can. But Mike, you and I both know from our college years and even in the pros where there were guys that did not touch the practice field. There were cats that were running around there with red or yellow or whatever color jersey you had that signified that you are not about any sort of contact. Do not touch this brother. He'll be there for mental reps. We just need him for game day. And for that, you're going to see that's the model that's been carried throughout the NFL to this point, and it'll just be accentuated as we get to longer and longer seasons.
Oh, Trev, I'll never forget it. When I got to the Pittsburgh Steelers, I was an undrafted rookie going into training camp in Pittsburgh. And when Mike Tomlin addressed that team, there were basically three groups. There were rookies, there were veterans, and then there was the leak squad, meaning you were the older guys that were starting to leak oil that were going to need a little bit more of that. So Ben Roethlisberger, guys like Ryan Clark and Troy Polamalu, all who you would see at different points on certain days in training camp practices, over there sitting on top of their helmet watching everybody else go out and do this because they have earned that right.
Sure,
and it's
going
to be more management of those things throughout the year. It's going to be players having to take better care of themselves throughout the years. 888-729-3776. 888-SAY-ESPN. Our producer, Shannon Penn, has pointed out that the most famous waffle is from Belgium, meaning waffles are also international.
Let's go.
Pancakes or waffles? What do you got? Mike in Dallas, you're on Chanae and Golic Jr. Pancakes or waffles? Where you at?
Hey, I mean, I'm all pro breakfast in the first place, but I mean, if I'm going to go for it, it's going to have to be waffle. Waffle is just, it's like a polite pancake. It generally holds what needs to be done there.
It's a polite pancake. You know what I do appreciate, Trev? We talked about Waffle House before. Is a Waffle House pancake? A Waffle House waffle is essentially a pancake that got stepped on by the iron, right? Like, it doesn't have the depth of those crevices.
Right.
It kind of gives. It's really actually the perfect between worlds of a pancake and a waffle.
I love the idea of waffles classing up the joint, right? Like, that is just a hilarious concept to start. But to go back to Shannon's point about waffles being international, so does that make the International House of Pancakes just fraudulent from its own inception? Like, are we there then? Because I don't know how many places pancakes are sort of, you know, broadcast outside of the U.S., but that's not to knock the pancake. It's just a recognition of where it resonates most.
We'll do some research on the location of IHOPs worldwide. We'll also get to another call here. Let's go to Brian in Dayton. Brian, you're on Chanae and Golic Jr. Pancakes or waffles? Where are we at?
It's easy. It's pancakes. McDonald's has a McGriddle sandwich, not a McWaffle sandwich.
They should look into the McWaffle sandwich.
Now you say, you know what? I actually wouldn't be mad. Like, why are we giving away these ideas for free right now, Brian?
Like, I need to be over in the executive offices trying to pitch that.
Hit me on the low. The McWaffle is out here, and we can make sure we are properly compensated for all of this. 888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. We'll keep leaning into this because we are 4 months away from the NFL season, and the NBA postseason has not started yet. But coming up next, with that in mind, let's look and see where Brooklyn's at right now. Why James Harden's words should echo through eternity as we all consider the way that we address this Nets squad. We'll get to that next here. Chinay Ngolick Jr., Mike Golick Jr., and Trevor Scales here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chinay Ngolick Jr., the podcast.
And I just had to go out there and just play with confidence and do what I do, not think about anything. And
you know, we can't be the pretty, you know, shot-making, easy-going team that we've been. We got to get dirty a little bit. We got to get gritty.
Dirty and gritty from the Nets. We buying that? Chinay Ngolick Jr. here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus. Mike Golick Jr. and Trevor Scales with you guys. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Guests are going to join us on the Goodyear Hotline. Excited to talk to our friend Cassidy Hubberth, ESPN NBA analyst, reporter. She does everything. You see her all over hoop streams as well. She's going to be with us in about 10 minutes here. And we'll get to more of this pancake and waffle business right now, Trevor, because the phone lines are ablaze right now with passionate breakfast defenders here.
Yes.
And it actually warms my heart, to be honest, Trevor.
Yeah, got to. Like, I think it is a spirited discussion that needs to be had however often y'all want to, frankly. I'm down.
It is. You know what it is? It's grounded in love and respect. Like, there's so much animosity in things like the LeBron-Jordan debate and stuff like that. Like, this one, I feel like we all come from a place of love and passion.
Absolutely. And shouts to my freshman year advisor up at Harvard, Jason Sereski. He and his son riding back to the crib, picking him up from preschool, and I think he expressed a sentiment that we both would love to endorse. And why not both? Right? Like, I don't think we have to draw the line in the sand. We can enjoy both. I think there's nothing wrong with that.
We can enjoy both, except on sports talk radio. You got to pick a side.
Correct.
Them's the rules here. So we'll get to plenty of more of those calls. 888-729-3776 coming up here in a few minutes, Trev. But we heard the blink coming back. James Harden and this Brooklyn Nets squad. James Harden makes his return to the court and some success here. It wasn't the usual full-blown James Harden experience in the night, but it was what they needed to see out of him. And I appreciate it as we're going to sit here and continue to ask questions about James Harden and this big three, only playing seven games together through the course of this regular season. James Harden said the thing that goes back to a point I've made all along about this team. They're good enough to embarrass us if they get the chance this postseason. And James Harden, Nets star guard, reminded us of that in his postgame presser last night when he said the very obvious thing very loud.
Are you surprised at how quickly it kind of came back to you and you were back in the flow of things?
Not really. Not to, like, brag or anything, but I'm, like, I'm really good at this game. You know, I study the game. I'm very unselfish. I take the game and I play it the right way every single night. So I don't try to do anything that I can't do or anything that doesn't benefit our team. And if that mindset right there keeps me in a really good place.
A wise man once said, it's hard to be humble when you're stunting on a Jumbotron, Trev, and there's no reason for James Harden to be right there. But it does underscore the point, Trev. Like, how much do you look at this Nets team and the firepower there and say, maybe we found the one outfit where this finally doesn't matter as Harden pours in 18 and 11 last night?
I mean, I can't go as far as to say it doesn't matter entirely, because there's going to be a point where in a seven-game series that it's not all automatically going to be working. Granted, they've won a lot with just two out of the three. More often than not, if two out of those three are on the floor, they are going to win the game. But I do believe that James Harden is such a significant piece in this. They are now 28-7 when any combination of the two between James Harden, Kyrie Irving, and Kevin Durant are on the floor. Less one. So 28-7 when he is a part of that combination of any two of those three, and he makes the offense go. So if you have KD and Kyrie on the floor, yes, singularly they can each get their own bucket. But what James Harden provides is an ability to adapt and make those guys better by putting them in the best possible position. So it's not to the point where it doesn't matter, but it is overwhelming by a lot of different measures when they are all clicking, certainly.
It does, especially with James Harden. And I keep going back to ESPN Stats and Info does such a great job with clutch time stats, what players do at the end of games in these key moments. Because the one thing I've said is, yes, we can look at this big three and say they all play well together, but being able to delegate responsibility in these key moments when you've got all three of these guys on the court, it's just not something they've had a lot of chances to do. And so while the rest may work well, Trev, it's like in football, an offense can operate really well in between the 20s. But you get down to the red zone all of a sudden and execution in tight windows becomes tougher. That's the clutch time stuff. Well, James Harden and his impact on Brooklyn. Brooklyn's offense scores 16 more points per 100 possessions. That's an 11% bump in effective field goal percentage when James Harden plays in clutch time this season. That could help explain why the team's in winning percentage in clutch time games is 450 points better. They are 18-2 with him and 9-11 without him. And maybe James, as the one-man wrecking crew in that particular instance, Trev, can overcome a lot of those growing pains that might exist, that might come about when you got to try and jam three dudes together for what would probably be their eighth time in the season once we hit the postseason. And that's if Kyrie Irving's face is okay.
Right. Like, orbital bones being the offensive line of the face, right? I thought that was a great tweet by you. And it is so, so real. And I'm sure Kyrie Irving is feeling every last bit of that sentiment. But to go back to even further what you talked about at the top of this segment, where it wasn't a full-blown James Harden experience, look, lo and behold, we are sitting in the exact scenario that you portrayed just there with that stat line. The fact that it was a game that included clutch time in which they won, and also it was wildly more efficient with him on the floor offensively, that tells you everything that he means to that offense. It's not that he's going to go out there and dribble the air out of the basketball and eventually get to the foul line because he's a big body that gets to the rim when he wants to. It's a matter of him making that offense go in whatever way he knows it needs to be done. That's why he says he's really, really good at this game, because he is, and he's good at making everybody else good at it too.
He does. He spreads the wealth in a way that few others can replicate, and we know offensively this team is going to be so difficult to contend with. I know James Harden, the quote we played at the beginning of this segment, talked about this team having to be gritty and do things defensively. Like, I just don't think that's going to be the case. I think it's going to be timely. I think that it might be effective. I don't know if gritty is ever going to be the term that I use to describe this.
You know what? You're right. Yeah, because I was getting ready to kind of rebut that, but at the same time, you're right. Timely is the perfect way to say it, because contesting the first 29 shots in their game last night against the Spurs is something to appreciate. But you also understand that it's not going to be the regular occurrence for this. They are not going to get in people's grills for the entirety of a first quarter on a game-by-game basis, especially when it comes to a seven-game series. They're probably going to rest on their laurels offensively, and it hasn't done a poor job for them yet. So I don't see any reason to break from it.
888-729-3776, 888-SAY-ESPN. The war for breakfast soul is on. Waffles versus pancakes after Dan Orlovsky introduced violence on the timeline. Let's go to Gabe in Louisiana. Gabe, you're on Chenea and Golda Jr. Waffles or pancakes, my friend? Where are we at?
Well, you mentioned earlier you had Lacey's went with French toast. I would have to say I agree with her, but if I got to pick one, I'm going to go with waffles.
All right. I'm a little bit confused now. Thank you, Gabe, for the call. He obviously picks waffles here, which are great. The French toast crowd trying to enter this chat, Trev.
Why? Why? There's no need to assert that into this discussion, in which we know what the top two candidates are. Y'all out here being an independent candidate messing up the race. Stop that. Like, don't do that. Just understand what the discussion is in between right now.
You're taking votes away from the real contenders in this party right now.
That's all I'm saying, bro.
It's a valuable lesson for everyone to learn. Shout out to Stuffed French Toast, though. We're all on your side. It's a great addition to the breakfast arsenal. But we don't got a lie to kick it in this argument, and so we won't keep doing that now. 888-SAY-ESPN. We'll get to more of your calls, and we'll get to a discussion about what the Lakers should be doing down the stretch. Two games left in their regular season, two superstars that didn't see the court last night, and a major decision about the trajectory of this season next here on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chenea and Golda Jr., the podcast.
It just comes down to getting a couple more days for LeBron, and they're going to prioritize health above seeding.
If they're 100% healthy and they're full roster, they can run through the play-in tournament.
It might be about a couple more games of rest, but it's only about a couple more hours until you guys get to see something special here. 144, ESPN Films' latest documentary premieres tonight at 9 o'clock Eastern on ESPN. Documentary that our very own Chinne Agumake is executive produced about the WNBA, the women inside the bubble, and the things that went into executing a postseason and a season unlike any other. Excited to show you a little bit of that coming up in about 10 minutes here on Chinne and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr., Trevor Scales, sitting in for Chinne Agumake today. You can check him out on Sports Nation on ESPN Plus each and every night. You can also check out our next guest all over ESPN, Cassidy Hubbard, our ESPN NBA reporter. You've seen her on Hoop Streams as well, talking NBA as one of the best in the business. Cassidy, how are you?
I'm good. I mean, I'm good. How are you? How's it feel to be partners with a famous movie producer?
Cassidy, I tell you what, every day I just come in here and thank God that my badge still works and that Chinne is still sitting next to me, because the amount of cool stuff and compliments you get just by sitting near her is unbelievable, and she does all the hard work.
How many people is Chinne? Because for as much as she does, I don't know how you accomplish. She has more hours in the day than the rest of us mortals.
Got to.
I am fully convinced Beyonce and Chinne are the only people with more than 24 hours in a given day, and they use them wisely for all the rest of our sake here. But Cassidy.
Wait. It was so weird to me, though, because I'm sitting and I'm watching the Today Show this morning. Geek. Like, I see Chinne on TV all the time, but, like, I lost my mind. I'm like, Chinne's on television. She's on the Today Show. As if, like, I'm seeing something so foreign. It was, I stand. That's all I wanted to say.
Yes.
We all stand. On a day where Chinne's documentary is getting ready to come out tonight, she's on the Today Show. I saw her sister NECA's character in the second Space Jam movie getting promoed and released out there. There is something different in the water. You know what? I wish. That's why we're all trying to get as close as possible here, Cassidy, as we're talking to Cassidy Hubbard, our ESPN NBA reporter. And so Chinne and Beyonce might have more hours in the day, but right now the Lakers do not, Cassidy. We know LeBron and AD didn't play last night against Houston. Is there any reason in your mind for these guys to see the court in the final two games of the regular season, knowing that the play-in tournament is still on the line?
I'm taking a second to appreciate that expert level transition you just did. That was really, really good. That's just why they pay you the big bucks. I was going back and forth on this one. You know, like, you got to get out there, get some run. You know, like, I talked to Anthony Davis in his third game back, and he was just talking about they don't have any practices, and so he just was completely out of flow. We've seen him, you know, obviously he got hurt again, but recently he's finally starting to find his flow. I've learned that not doubt LeBron, but I'm torn here. I good for them to kind of get out there and not have their first game be a play-in game. But granted, I think, you know, given that they're in position for them to play at the very most two games, or very least two games, I think they're going to be able to handle business in the play-in. But yeah, I'm saying two answers here, because I think that's what it comes down to. You wish, and they wish they had more time, because this season has been I told your producer Shannon that I apologize.
You're gonna hear
a 2-year-old in the. No, this is what I did wrong. I gave her her bribe too early.
What was the bribe, Cassidy?
Following me around. Well, it was a Spider-Man. Okay, honey, can we not? I'm on live radio right now talking about the NBA. I just think I think they're going to be fine in the play-in. But I think the Lakers would wish that they had more time.
I just want to take a minute before we get to Trevor here to acknowledge that while we talked about Chinne wearing a bunch of different hats, that Cassidy Hubbard effortlessly gave us multiple NBA answers here while also being a mother right now. So, Cass, we're going to go ahead and have to give you some flowers in the process here, because that's not going to go understated, Trev.
That is absolutely correct. Cassidy Hubbard joining us from real life, Chinne Agumake Jr.
From real life.
On ESPN Radio. And Kaz, speaking of the play-in, what then is your ideal matchup to see either out of the East or West then? Because I think, you know, it's been polarizing to say the least, but the general idea of it ramping up the importance of the late bit of the regular season has certainly come to fruition. So what are some of your ideal matchups to look at?
I mean, I think everybody, you guys, I put you on mute. That's a masterclass of working mom right there. I think everyone wants to see the Warriors and Lakers. I think this is like, that's the exact matchup that LeBron was talking about when he was saying whoever came up with this, you know, should be fired. But at the same time, like everybody in the NBA office is like, you know, twiddling their fingers like an evil, like Dr. Evil, be like, yes, give me more of this. I think everyone wants to see that, you know, like, and like, I'm excited to watch the Wizards in the postseason, in the play-in, because Russell Westbrook has been insane and he is going to give a lot of people fits, and they're coming for people's heads. And I think that's the biggest difference. Like, you know, any other year, the Wizards would be trying to get in the best position for the lottery at this point. But right now, like, Russ is going full steam. Like, there's no other, you know, rate for him to go other than full steam. But to see him arguably playing his best basketball of his career right now, and hopefully Bradley Beal comes back healthy. I'm talking a lot of Wizards. I'm sure that's surprising people, but I'm enjoying watching them. I think they're sneaky good, and it could really surprise some people.
I think it really has been that kind of year, though, and you mentioned the guy who deserves a ton of credit for that. We know Bradley Beal going for that scoring title, but Russell Westbrook overtaking Oscar Robertson for career triple-doubles, and just the energy he brings to any organization has certainly been felt in Washington. As we're talking to Cassidy Hubbard, you see her on hoop streams, you see her calling NBA games from the sidelines, doing an outstanding job. But Cassidy, we need your expertise on the most important subject here. We mentioned you join us from real life, and in real life today on the timeline, Dan Orlovsky is sparked a debate about waffles and pancakes for breakfast. I just need to know which side of this great debate you're on, Cassidy.
Yeah, I was waiting for this. I thought you were going to leave with it. I already, you know, I'm hungry. I don't even need to pause. I'm just doing this for dramatic effect. It's pancakes all day.
Oh,
and it's, yes.
Explain yourself, Cassidy, because this is I had you as a waffle kind of woman, and I'm having a hard time to understand.
Wait, let me get this straight. You like the waffle because you you need crevices for your.
Ain't nobody said need. We appreciate them.
Is that the difference? It's like you want to see you don't want your syrup to just like soak into the gooey cake. We kidding? When it comes to pancakes, like, we've just decided that that's breakfast and not dessert. Like, that is full-on dessert. That is a cake. It is a literal cake, just without frosting. We choose syrup, which I don't know which one has more sugar, syrup or frosting. So it is, they're both desserts, both delicious, but pancakes, I just crave more. And I don't think I had a bigger craving, since we're going to continue this theme of children, craving during my pregnancy than pancakes. Wow. I dragged Diana Russini around New York City, you know, trying all the best pancakes during my pregnancy. So
No, that is perfect analysis there. Follow her on Twitter at Cassidy Hubbard for enlightened takes about pancakes like this. You want to see it become part of it? I want to bring what Cassidy said to life of us just putting frosting on pancakes instead of maple syrup. Now, let's live our truth.
I mean,
let's live in the light.
Come on, though. Come on, Uncle. Like, we put ice. I've seen places put ice cream on, on pancakes and waffles and whipped cream. It's a dessert. Like, who are we kidding?
Two-way go. It's a two-way player.
We don't got a lie to kick it when it comes to dessert being breakfast in this instance. That's why she's the best, guys. Check her out. You see her on hoop streams, on the sideline of NBA games, and everywhere on this network. Cassidy, thanks so much for the time. You're the best.
Appreciate you both.
Cassidy Hubbard, living legend over here, actively momming also doing incredibly compelling sports talk radio. That's why Cassidy Hubbard is one of our favorite people around here. But coming up next, we're really excited to take you guys through one more sneak preview of what we've got coming up tonight in the WNBA by one of our very own, in Chinay Ogwumike. We'll get to that next here on Chinay and Golic Jr. on ESPN Radio and ESPN Plus.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
WNBA is on its way back. Playing basketball in a pandemic looks like this. No mask, no 6 feet apart. To put yourself in harm's way is a scary decision.
We are dedicating this season to Breonna Taylor.
The unity that we were able to experience was something that we won't forget and we can lean on as we move forward.
I would do it all over again because it's bigger than me. It's bigger than my teammates.
It's as big as it gets, and it is coming up at 9 o'clock Eastern tonight. Chenay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We are presented by Progressive Insurance. Mike Golic Jr., Trevor Scales, has been kind enough to sit in for Chenay Igwumike today as she gets ready for the release of 144 tonight. As she gets ready for the Los Angeles Sparks season opener against the Dallas Wings tomorrow that we're excited about. You guys can catch Trevor Scales, Ashley Brewer, and Taylor Twellman co-hosting Sports Nation on ESPN Plus every day here through the week. Trev, we appreciate you coming through today, man. Been a lot of fun.
Pleasure is all mine, dog. Play the horns one more time for me. Thank you. Yeah, no, I appreciate the ever-loving mess out of that, bro. Like, it's been a grand old time.
It's been a great time, and we get to finish it off in the best possible way. Chenay is not with us here today, but we are going to make sure that the message still gets across to everybody. Let's keep that same energy.
We want to be a jolt of energy.
Yeah, the energy level was really high there.
And now we want to keep that same energy going.
Keeping that same energy.
Keep that same energy.
You could just sense that there was a tremendous amount of energy.
With Chenay and Golic Jr.
And that energy is going to be kept tonight. ESPN Films and the WNBA collab for a documentary, 144, documenting the life and times of the WNBA bubble and the women that made it great. It's 9 Eastern tonight on ESPN. And here is our last inside look that we can give you on this, the overwhelming slate of WNBA games and what it takes physically and mentally out of the players who go out and make this product so great.
Anyone who says that there's going to be an asterisk next to this season or this champion of this season is out of their mind. It's an exclamation point because of what we had to do to get here.
I mean, it's just Groundhog's Day. It's basketball 24/7. Days are just over and over and over and over.
Here we go. Ready? Wait, we got to know what we're doing before we get down here.
We're one of two teams that have 19-day stretch where we have 10 games. So we're right in the middle of it.
Way to fight through.
And so we're, you know, fatigued mentally, physically. Like, it's tough.
Box out!
Hey, switch!
You have to put together, like, multiple games where you only have one off day in between. You'll see injuries, you'll see fatigue, and you just have to play through it.
Playing every other day is definitely different. Every other day games consisted of maybe, I want to say, between 20 and 30% of our season last year compared to 70% of our season this year.
As a WNBA fan, I think people are probably, like, stoked about all the games. But for us, there's, like, a toll.
This is the point in the WNBA schedule where, you know, their bodies are kind of recovering from shock.
And, Trev, you see it right there, the grit and determination, and that's the on-court portion of things, and we know that's only one part of the entire hole that was experienced inside of that WNBA bubble this year, with all of the conversations around social justice, with people being away from their families in the middle of a pandemic. 144 is going to be an incredible look from what we've seen in the inside of all this.
Yeah, the willingness to carry the burden of what it means to be in the front of that social justice initiative, excuse me, the willingness to carry that burden again was something to marvel at and still will be.
Always will be. These women have been out at the forefront of all of this. Not only this year, not only when it was most needed, but consistently throughout this league's existence, they get ready to enjoy their 25th anniversary season. Keeping that same energy is brought to you by My Computer Career, training for a better life. Again, our thanks to everyone that came through the show today. Daniel Walcott, Tampa Bay Lightning defenseman, who was a part of a group of forwards, that made the first all-black lineup of forwards in NHL history. Louis Riddick for joining us, and the incomparable Cassidy Hubbard rolling through with a two-year-old in hand to talk pancakes and waffles
from
with
real
us here.
Life. From real life. Shout out to all y'all for throwing in your waffle takes too, and pancake takes.
Absolutely, and the pancake and waffle crowd always welcome here. Check out Trevor Scales again on Sports Nation, ESPN Plus every night. Coming up next, we will see if Spain and Fitz can carry you guys to the finish line here. They are next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Janae and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.